Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Here's a commentary by Nadine Craddock, Foundation Board of Governors at Midland Memorial Hospital. Having the best available health care is up to the voters. These are uncertain times in our world and in our community. From the pandemic to the downturn in the oil and gas industry in Midland and across the world, we all have experienced unexpected turns in 2020. In difficult times, we are called to do bold things and be bold leaders. The Midland County Hospital District needs our support now more than ever. We can help by voting yes during this special election on their ballot initiative. While the population of Midland has grown over the past decade, the federal reimbursement rate has not. The funds for my 0.25% sales tax increase will be used to preserve the doctors, specialists, mental health resources, and so much more. This is not a property tax. This sales tax will apply only to taxable goods and services in Midland County. Anyone who shops in our community will help support the hospital. The impact of Midland Memorial Hospital affects more than just the main hospital. The hospital works to retain physicians with specialties such as orthopedics, cardiology, and emergency room physicians and their staff. It also participates with Texas Tech University Health Science Centers to support graduate medical students and physician assistants. In addition, the hospital supports a number of programs for adults and children, like the Coleman Clinic, that are part of Midland Community Healthcare Services. The hospital also has mental health partnerships with Oceans Behavioral Health and the Springboard Center Drug and Alcohol Treatment Facility. When an emergency happens to you or your family, the first place you go to is Midland Memorial Hospital. Having high-quality doctors, nurses, staff, and equipment is important for you and for this community. Each of us has used the resources within our community, and it would be devastating to see any one of them reduced or eliminated. Preserving our medical standard of care is always important, but even more so now. Early voting begins Monday and continues through July 10th. Election Day is on July 14th. One of the pillars of a great community is access to quality health care. Please join me in supporting this vital part of our community by voting yes for excellence in health care. Nadine Craddock is a past member of the Board of Trustees of Midland Memorial Hospital and is a current member of the Midland Memorial Foundation Board of Governors. Here's a commentary from Eric Winston, a Lee High School graduate. It's time to change the name of Lee High School. I love Midland. I loved my high school experience. It included wonderful experiences on the playing field, competing with guys I consider friends for life, in front of the best fan base in America. I look back so fondly on the many memories I have from my time growing up. I would want every kid to have the same upbringing and opportunities that I had. However, it's time to right a wrong that we have let go on for too long. We must change the name of Robert E. Lee High School. We cannot let his name remain on an establishment that welcomes students of all races, knowing he fought to keep so many of them in chains. To those who say the figure of Robert E. Lee is part of our past as Midlanders, I would say, take a history lesson. Midland was founded in 1881, almost 20 years after the end of the Civil War. Moreover, Lee High School started in the 1960s, when schools were forced to desegregate. George Washington Carver was the all-black high school on the other side of town that was closed following integration orders. Students were instead sent to Midland High, as well as the newly built Robert E. Lee High School. And to those who say that we don't want to give up our history, we don't have to. It's always been about the special people who have contributed to our city, our schools, and our playing fields. That's our real history. Interestingly, in 1961, Carver's football team won the state football championship. the first championship of any kind for Midland. I wish I'd known more about this history when I was growing up and better understood the important legacy our state championship-winning teams were continuing. While we can't do anything about the past, we can do something about the future. To mark the school's 60th anniversary, we can usher in a new era of equality and belongingness. While replacing a name won't fix systemic racism and the issues we face as a nation, it can help students of color feel more welcome and equal. From my experience, the best thing about sports, and specifically football, is the locker room. From Midland to Miami to my time in the NFL, I feel lucky that I developed friendships with people from a range of backgrounds and life experiences who all shared the same feeling of purpose and sacrifice toward the same goal. That shared sacrifice led to close friendships, and as you become close, you start sharing deeply personal stories, stories about your families, stories about your friends, and stories about your heartaches. My black teammates often shared stories of heartache that I had a hard time relating to, like stories of unfair treatment by the police. I also heard stories about discrimination that's harder to see, things like access to better primary education, neighborhood isolation, and a way their interactions at times reminded them of their place. I accept that while I heard all these stories through the years from my black teammates, it has not pushed me to do enough. I think it's time for all of us to do more. It's time to do the hard working of tearing down the barriers, physical and mental, that separate us, which is why I'm lending my voice to call out for this change. We are not going to make sweeping changes to the injustices that happen in this country overnight, but we can start by changing the name of Robert E. Lee High School. From there, we must continue to work to tear down the barriers that divide us and continue to self-reflect about what we can do to make a positive change in our community. Positive change must start somewhere, and it's time to begin that process. Please join me in asking the school board to change the name of Robert E. Lee High School. Eric Winston is a graduate of Lee High School. He went on to play in the National Football League and was the president of the NFL Players Union. The next two articles are by the candidates participating in the runoff election for the 142nd State District Court judgeship. First, an article by Mary Baker, district judge candidate. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in this, the court of public opinion, you have the power to ensure Midland County has the judicial strength it needs to tackle the civil, business, and energy cases that run our home's economic engine. Only one candidate, myself, Mary Baker, has demonstrated that she has the behind-the-bench experience and complex business litigation skills that are needed in our district courts after Judge Giles' retirement to clear out the post-COVID and backlog in an efficient manner and continue Midland's legacy of judicial excellence. This year has taken a toll on us all, seeing oil prices go negative, jobs lost, families broken, and abrupt changes to our workforce, religious practices, and schooling. These cases and issues are the heart of what matters to us as Republicans and Midlanders, and they come before the district courts for trial. Their resolution and proper analysis are hugely important to how successfully we can build our children's and grandchildren's futures in the Permian Basin. With children of my own, born and being raised here, I understand how important it is to protect our shared conservative values within the courthouse. I will uphold the Constitution. It is equally important to protect our economic futures by providing needed expertise on the bench in the oil and gas cases unique to Midland. I have built my career regaining this specialized knowledge in complex bet-the-company cases. She has authored title opinions, analyzed downhole disputes, and advised on employment, car accident, and pipeline cases in the oil industry. Even a bright lawyer cannot learn these complex areas of the law overnight. I have the ability to make an immediate difference in understanding complex cases when our local industry comes before the court requesting millions of dollars in relief, without which their struggles worsen. Civil cases matter. Getting to those rulings will mean dealing with a case backlog. Ms. Baker spent 4 years with the federal courts, working behind the bench on up to 3 criminal trials per week, drafting all needed orders and hundreds of jury charges. When the lawyers arguing the case didn't even know the answer, Mary had the answer. She even drafted a multi-count criminal jury charge while in walking labor with her firstborn son to keep the wheels of justice turning. She is a tough Texas working mama who will bring that experience and efficiency with her to the court. As a litigator at the Lynch Chapel Law Firm, one of the oldest in Midland, Mary Baker has the support of lawyers in town because they know she will work diligently and hand down fair rulings. She has run a positive campaign from start to finish, as a person of integrity worthy of a judicial office should do. As a board member for multiple nonprofits, including local arts institutions and United Way of Midland, Mary has proven herself as a principled servant leader in our community for the 13 years she has lived here. She has demonstrated a love for her profession by chairing the Paralegal Advisory Committee at Midland College and being active with the local bar association. She has shown her love for her town by giving her own time at her church and in performing free adoptions for deserving forever families. I am Mary Baker. The law of our land is not only criminal law. To oversimplify our courts in that manner is folly. We, as a county, need a balanced bench that has both criminal and civil law represented in order to ensure the rule of law is followed in all cases. I am asking you to make your decision based on reason and logic, as well as all of our love for what Midland can be when given the right infrastructure in our courts to support our businesses and industry. The other candidate running for the 142nd District Court judgeship is David Rogers. Criminal law expertise matters in this race. With all that is going on in our world and our economy right now, local judicial elections are probably not on your mind. However, on July 14th, we will be selecting a new judge to lead the 142nd District Court here in Midland County, with the retirement of Judge Jody Giles coming at the end of the year. The 142nd District Court is one of the 4 general jurisdiction courts in Midland County, meaning both criminal and civil cases are filed in the 142nd Judicial Court. However, the vast majority of the cases filed in the court are criminal in nature. At this time, most of the district court's caseload is compiled of felony criminal cases, such as capital murder, aggravated robbery, aggravated assault, sexual assault, burglary, and drug possession or distribution. Currently, the 142nd District Court is the only Midland County court with a death penalty case pending on its docket. Clearly, we need a judge with state criminal law expertise presiding over this particular court. Additionally, because there has been a growing backlog of criminal jury trials created by the COVID-19 shutdown, we need a judge over the district court who has a deep understanding of state criminal law. As to civil cases, the Midland District Clerk's Office randomly distributes all civil cases, regardless of what type, between the 4 district courts. Attorneys are not permitted to choose the particular court in which to file their cases. Consequently, the 142nd District Court hears only 1 out of every 4 civil cases filed in Midland County at the district court level. In fact, less than 1% of the cases currently on the 142nd District Court's docket are exclusively oil and gas cases. Throughout my campaign, people have asked me why I believe I am the best judicial candidate for the district court. My answer to this question is honest and straightforward. I am the most qualified candidate running for this judicial position. For the past 27 years, I have been practicing law here in Midland, and in 2007, I obtained a board certification in criminal trial law, which requires extensive experience in criminal trials and appeals, recommendations from lawyers and judges, and passing a difficult written examination covering all aspects of criminal trial law. Less than 1% of all attorneys in Texas hold this certification. And currently, I am one of only 3 attorneys in our county who is board certified in criminal law. For 10 years of my law practice, I worked at the law firm of Brockett and Lindemann, practicing primarily civil law, and I handled numerous civil litigation cases, including collections, breach of contract, personal injury, employment law, will contests, and some environmental cases. During the other 17 years, I have owned my own law firm and focused on criminal and family law. With more than 135 jury trials, 100 appeals, and 300 bench trials under my belt, I've spent my career accumulating the courtroom experience needed to now preside over this court to ensure that justice is served. Over the years, I have also developed the judicial temperament needed in a district judge. In criminal and family cases, I work daily with people going through the worst times of their lives. I have learned patience, gained empathy, and extended grace. I recognize the effects of poverty and drug use on a person's life, and I also recognize an individual's failure to accept responsibility for his or her actions. I realize there are times that harsh punishment is the only viable option, while at other times, rehabilitation is the answer. These sorts of judgment calls are a big part of a district judge's job description, and only through decades of experience can someone gain the insight required to get those calls right. As a small business owner, I understand the economic need to see civil cases proceed expediently through the legal system. As a 27-year veteran attorney, I know how to streamline civil cases so that the parties can have their dispute resolved as quickly and as fairly as possible. I was born and raised in Midland County. After graduating from law school, I chose to move back to Midland to raise my family in Midland and to establish my law practice here. Midland has been very good to me and my family, and I have never regretted moving back home. I would now like to serve Midland County and its residents as the 142nd District Judge. As a conservative, experienced, Christian attorney, I would serve our community by following the strict letter of the law during the difficult times Midland County is currently facing, as well as in better times, which I hope and pray are just around the corner for all Midland County residents. The July 14th Republican primary runoff election is important to the future of Midland County. Consequently, your vote is needed. Because I am the most qualified candidate for this position, I am asking each of you to vote David Rogers for 142nd District Judge in this judicial runoff election. Weekly numbers basically double in Midland County. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at HearstMP.com. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases during the week basically doubled, continuing a trend during the month of June. The number of cases went from 121 to 241, pushing the total during the entire pandemic to 563. That push moved Midland up to the list of counties in the state. Last week, Midland County ranked 42nd. This week, Midland's ranking was 33rd. There was a lot of week-over-week doubling when it came to the statistics from the Midland Health Department. The number of cases transmitted within the community jumped from 82 to 186. Contact to a known case remains the most identified source of exposure, with 270. The number of cases in the 20 to 29 age group nearly doubled. The 20-somethings have the most confirmed cases and represent 30.9% of those in the county. Those patients isolating at home more than doubled, jumping from 179 to 402. The number of cases at Midland Memorial Hospital also more than doubled from 8 to 18. The health department also reported the number of people who have recovered from their bout with coronavirus climbed by 6 this past week, finishing at 119. The week also was notable in that there were 3 single-day record totals, including 2 daily totals with 40 or more cases. That doesn't include the 95 reported Monday, accounting for the cases from the previous weekend.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, June 28th, 2020. Section A. Oil field thefts vex industry. Copper wire losses sometimes shut down entire fields. By Bob Campbell. There's a war going on in the oil field, and as in all wars, subterfuge, intelligence gathering, troop strength, and generalship make the difference. In the struggle that's gone on for decades between law enforcement and oil field thieves, the advantage ebbs and flows, with the cops sometimes subduing the criminals and the criminals sometimes holding sway for a while. The stakes are high, with wells and drilling rigs being put out of production and the losses of oil, tools, meters, tubing, valves, and copper wire running into millions. And it's no joke for the thieves, because big dollar losses can mean long state and federal prison terms. Formed in 2008 and backed by the FBI in Midland, the Permian Basin Oilfield Theft Task Force has consisted of deputies from Andrews, Midland, and Ector counties who fought the war full-time. However, COVID-19 has driven the Andrews and Midland County Sheriff's offices from the battlefield and left Ector County Sheriff's Lieutenant Rick Dixon and Deputy Deborah Puckett to soldier on alone with the FBI. We have 10 known oil field thieves in jail now, and that has slowed things down considerably, Dixon said Tuesday. We put one guy in jail who said he'd been stealing copper for 30 years. That was his career. It's amazing. To Sheriff Griffith's credit, we have pushed them out of Ector into the rural counties. Noting that copper wire brought $2 a pound at scrap metal yards till the oil slump dropped it to 90 cents, the lieutenant said, we average seeing 200 to 500 pounds taken off a rig. Some use pruning shears and others bolt cutters to pull the inch-thick copper cable off the generators that power the rigs. Those who are really good at it have good tools. They can get 500 pounds in 2 hours, with one or two stealing it, someone else stripping it, and somebody else selling it. If you dig deep into it, most cases turn into organized crime. Dixon said oil field criminals typically steal to finance their drug habits. When we had the big layoffs, they just dropped what they had in their hands and left it laying out in the fields, he said. But there are not so many thefts by people coming back to steal. It's pretty much the same bunch we were working to begin with. There have been a lot of cases where pulling copper wire off wells has shut down entire oil fields because the oil company had to make a determination if a well should be put back into production. A small producer might not be put back in. It's not so much the copper, it's the rewiring and replacement. They might lose $1,500 in copper, but have to spend $70,000 to put it back into production. Ward, Martin, Midland, Crane, Upton, Gaines, all the jurisdictions are plagued with it. Dixon said thieves may take copper to any of 3 scrap metal recycling yards in Ector County or 2 in Midland County, but they may also carry it as far as Dallas-Fort Worth to avoid being tracked down. I try to make the scrap yards every day, he said, adding that many less bothersome cases aren't reported. Say a rig comes up missing a stainless steel valve. They just go get another one, and it never gets reported because they don't want to slow down. We're in almost daily contact with the oil field security people, and the pumpers tell us if there is a pickup that shouldn't be out there. We try to stay on top of what the crooks are driving. Lone Star Instrumentation Manager Mike Nabarette said copper thieves have hit his electrical contracting company's work sites numerous times, particularly before the slowdown depressed copper prices. We have been dealing with it for a long time, Nabarette said. We wire rigs and pumping units, and we go out there and see where the cables have been cut and the wire pulled out of the conduit, so we have to go back and replace it. Former Andrews County Deputy Sheriff Mark Greenhaw was a founding member of the Permian Basin Oil Field Theft Task Force, and now he patrols the properties of XTO Energy, the oil and gas producing subsidiary of Exxon Corporation. It comes in waves, Greenhaw said. We'll get a bad wave of it, and then it will slow down for a little while after we get them caught, till we get the next group in. They have also been stealing diesel pickups and stealing diesel from generators. They're deep into narcotics. They can't hold a job, so they are reduced to thefts, and the oil field is an easy target. That's why the big companies like Apache, Diamond, Oxy, and XTO hire people like me to fight this and get these people who are stealing their equipment and property. It's West Texas. It's flat, and they get out into the middle of nowhere, and they can see car lights coming for 4 or 5 miles. Greenhaw said increasingly sophisticated technology helps. We usually respond after the thefts have occurred, he said. But we have a lot of hidden cameras out and about with infrared emitters that can see in the dark. Greenhaw said the thefts of oil using vacuum trucks from tanks on company property are also vexatious, with thieves filling up with 120 barrels and selling for less than half value on the black market. There are places all over where they can sell it, he said. The SCADA Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition Systems send out alarms about the levels in the tanks, and the pumpers respond. Sometimes we catch them in the act. Accurate Census Counts by Ruth Campbell. Because of all the goodies it can provide, the West Texas Food Bank and Permian Strategic Partnership have teamed up to encourage people to fill out their census forms. The every decade count helps determine how many representatives go to Congress, federal funding for schools, roads, hospitals, and even economic development. In Ector County, West Odessa, which has 50 to 70,000 residents, is persistently undercounted. Craig Stoker, Director of Communications for the West Texas Food Bank, said it took him about 2 minutes to finish the form online. The response rate in Ector and Midland counties is under 50%. That is concerning on a few different levels, so we want to make sure that everybody gets counted, that everybody talks to their neighbors and friends and gets counted, so that we get our fair share of federal dollars. Maybe we'll pick up a vote or two in the right direction, Stoker said. Brenda McDonald, media specialist for the Dallas Regional Census Center in Lubbock, said the self-response rate as of June 25th for Ector County was 47% and 51.8% for Midland County. The deadline to submit the form is October 31st. The deadline was extended due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Stoker said it would be good to know how diverse the community has become. We are a little more diverse than some people might want to admit. I think it's very important to know the pockets of the community that exist. I know that throughout the 19 counties we serve, we have kind of two different areas. We've got a very metropolitan area in Midland and Odessa and our surrounding communities. Then you get down into Brewster and Presidio counties, and it's a very rural population. So to be able to know the makeup of those communities is, to me, a part of education. If you can learn more about the people you're serving, you can ultimately serve them better. You can find programs. There are all sorts of things that can come from the big, bad federal, Stoker said. Talking about our budget, about 12% of the budget of the food bank is reimbursed dollars. And that's only possible because we know who the people are as counted by the census. So if we can get a more accurate count, we can learn more about the demographics and the people we're serving. That's all the better, in my opinion, he added. Stoker said it would impact the ability of the food bank to grow its mission if there isn't an accurate count of the people in the 19 counties it serves. We can't plan accordingly. We can budget accordingly. There's kind of a five-year update that happens every 5 years that helps us figure out the federal funding coming back to this area and on the state level too. This is the big real deal showtime. We've got to stand up and be counted. That will really go a long way, not only supporting the food bank, but supporting our hospitals, supporting our schools, getting money to build our roads, really just overall improvements to the community, Stoker said. Just taking those few minutes to fill out the form can impact a lot of different areas of people's lives. It doesn't matter if you're a client of the food bank or not. This encompasses so many different areas, Stoker said. Tracy Bentley, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Permian Strategic Partnership, said figuring out how the response is going has been a challenge with the pandemic. Really, the only way we can measure progress is the numbers that come out of the U.S. Census Bureau. We know there is a bit of a lag time there. At least, we think so. I do think, though, that people are starting to become more aware of the census this year, and now, more than ever, the importance of it. So we're seeing some small progress there, I think, Bentley said. Earlier this year, PSP commissioned a study by the Perryman Group to better understand the economic and fiscal significance of an accurate census count in the Permian Basin. The Perryman Group Economic Impact Study projects that a 2% undercount would result in regional losses of $1.1 billion in gross product, which would be $112 million per year. The loss of 13,135 jobs over the 10 years, which would be 1,314 jobs lost per year, and a loss of $52.9 million in federal funding for local government entities. So the stakes are really, really high, Bentley said, and we have an awful lot to lose, even with a small undercount. So an accurate count for the census is so essential to positioning for the future of the Permian Basin, including ensuring that we get our fair share for essential community programs like education and schools, healthcare, hospitals, transportation and road infrastructure and housing, she added. There may be some people who are hesitant to respond to the census out of concern over data privacy. But it's important to understand that the information that we provide for the census is for data purposes only, and it's not shared with any other agency or entity, so it's very secure and confidential. The other reason we think people aren't filling out the census is because they still don't know what it is. Generally speaking, people know what a census is, but I still don't think they understand we only get one shot every 10 years to fill this out, Bentley said. Economic development also relies heavily on census numbers, so the area could miss out on a lot of commercial development if there is an undercount. In Hobbs, New Mexico, they want a target really bad. And Target looks at census numbers and says, okay, you now have the population to sustain a store here, so we'll go ahead and put one there. That's one example. But all the development, commercial development, that our area will miss out on just by getting our numbers wrong. So that doesn't get talked about very often, Bentley said. This is the first census count that people can respond to online. It's never been easier to fill out your census. I think it took me 6 or 7 minutes because I timed it just to see so I could tell people it takes hardly any time, she said. She stressed that the information provided in the census is confidential and secure. They strictly want a count, Bentley said. If you live in the area more than 50% of the time, regardless of whether you're documented or not, they want to know how many people are there. And so trying to explain that to people when they're already perhaps a little nervous about it, it's been a challenge. But it does go back to the other educational piece that we're trying to really get out there, is people say, well, my family lives in Houston and I'm here for work Monday through Friday and I go home on the weekends, so my wife will fill out the census for us in Houston. That's actually not what they want. Wherever you are physically more than 50% of the time, that's where they want you to fill out your census. Because it makes sense, if you're somewhere more than 50%, that's where the resources for you that follow you should go. Quick hits. Early voting. The Ector County and Midland County Elections Office has scheduled early voting Monday through July 10th for the joint primary runoff election on July 14th. Early voting polling locations and times in Odessa. Ector County Courthouse Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 1 to 5 p.m. July 5th, and 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. July 6th through 10th. Murray Fly Elementary in the foyer, 11688 West Westview Drive, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and July 6th through 10th, and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. July 5th. Westlake Hardware, 4652 East University, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and July 6th through 10th, and 1 to 5 p.m. July 5th. Odessa College Sports Center in the foyer, 201 West University, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and July 6th through 10th, and 1 to 5 p.m. July 5th. Salinas Community Building, 600 West Clements, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and July 6th through 10th, and 1 to 5 p.m. July 5th. Sample ballots are available at the following website, Ector, tinyurl.com/MLMHNVG. In Midland, tinyurl.com/Y3NMFRMY. The Secretary of State, www.sos.state.tx.us. Election Day is July 14th. And polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Voters may vote at any of the vote centers on this day. For more information, call the Elections Office at 498-4030 in Odessa or 688-4890 in Midland, or visit tinyurl.com/MLMHNVG. Or check your local newspaper.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Monday, June 29th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Patrick Peyton, we are on the right course. Mayor to hold press conference today, by Stuart Doreen. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton reacted to Governor Greg Abbott's executive orders on Friday by saying that the city will continue to discuss application and strategy among council and city staff and be ready to address in more detail at the beginning of the week. The City of Midland has announced that the mayor will hold an online press conference today. Abbott took action on Friday to close bars, reduce the number of people in restaurants, and restrict to 100 the total number of people who could gather outside, with exceptions. His order was a response to the spike in coronavirus cases across the state. As of Friday, that number topped 137,000 Texans, according to the Department of State Health Services website. The Midland Health Department reported Friday that the number of confirmed cases rose to 563. At the beginning of the month, the total was 129. It appears to me that the governor's orders are indicative of the fact that we are still trying to figure out how to get to a safe place with COVID-19, Peyton told the Reporter-Telegram in an email. At the local level, it is once again very difficult to abide by statewide mandates that apply broadly to the state, but with confusion on what is necessary and actionable at the local level. I believe that we as a city are on the right course. When it comes down to details and application, we have to do what is right for the state, but with Midland as our highest priority and front and center of our decisions. The mayor said during a call Thursday that he expected council meetings will return to an online format. The city reported Friday that all employees and visitors shall wear face coverings, masks, when entering and moving about in the common areas, corridors, hallways, lobbies, and elevators of Midland City Hall. Peyton also said that the residents will have to aggressively practice the personal application of masks and proper hygiene to make progress in combating the virus. He stopped short of a mandate requiring residents wear a mask, which he said would be difficult to enforce. This article is entitled Early Voting Begins Today by Mary Dearin. Midland County Hospital District Proposition A and runoff for district judge are the two items on the ballot for July 14th election in Midland County. Early voting begins today and continues through July 10th. Proposition A is for a 0.25-cent increase to the sales tax collected in the city and the county. The sales tax on eligible items inside the city currently is 8%. The cap inside the state of Texas is 8.25%. The revenue from a countywide sales tax increase could raise up to $30 million a year, money that proponents believe will help make up for cuts in federal funding. Midland Health President and CEO Russell Myers said previously that should voters approve the tax increase, the funding would go toward a variety of services, including physician recruitment, Midland Community Health Services, nonprofit system of community clinics, and inpatient behavioral health. Facing off in the runoff for judge of 142nd District Court are David Rogers and Mary Baker. In the three-person race during the March primary, Rogers received 9,379 votes and Baker received 7,948, according to a previous Reporter-Telegram article. Rogers' background is in criminal law, while Baker has been an oil and gas attorney for 13 years. Early voting information. Early voting sites. Midland County Elections Office, 2110 North A Street. Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch, 2503 West Loop 250. Cogdell Learning Center, 211 West Florida Avenue. Fellowship Community Church, 5206 North Midland Drive. St. Paul United Methodist Church, 4501 Thomason Drive. Voting center hours, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. today through Thursday, 1 to 6 p.m. July 5th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. July 6th to 10th. This is the local and state page. This article is entitled Tax Office Employee Reportedly Tests Positive from Staff Reports. An employee of the Middle County Tax Office has tested positive for asymptomatic coronavirus, Karen Hood, tax assessor collector, said Sunday in an email. The test result was received on Saturday. The employee was last in the office on June 22nd, she said. Social distancing is required in the office, which will be sanitized before reopening to the public today. Midland County has 563 confirmed cases of COVID-19 as of Friday, according to the Midland Health Department. The county ranks 33rd for the total number of cases. Of those 563 cases, 9 are under investigation, according to the city's health department. For the others, the source of exposure was contact to a known case, 280, community acquired, 186, and travel-related, 98.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Monday, June 29, 2020. Mask requirements. City Hall. Effective today, all employees and visitors shall wear face coverings, masks, when entering and moving about in the common areas of City Hall. Common areas are identified as corridors, hallways, lobbies, and elevators, according to a press release from the city. MSS, Midland Shared Spaces, posted on its Facebook page Friday that visitors, clients, and tenant employees will be requested to wear masks as in all common spaces of the building. Big Sky Drive-In will start requiring customers to wear face masks before entering the concessions area. The announcement was made Thursday evening on its Facebook page. Pools are closed today. The city's pools are closed today for maintenance and training, according to information provided by the city. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center are operating on alternate days because of less than normal staffing and the pandemic. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Clinics offer coronavirus tests. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 nurse. MidlandHealth.org. Mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access. 68 Nurse or 221-1111. Cash prize for antibody testing, $50. Signature Care, 699-2601. ercare24.com/Midland. Cash prize for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR test, visit plus test, $175. Cash prize for antibody test, visit plus test, $175. Cash prize for both COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR, and antibody, $300. If patients are insured, we'll need to pay copay. Rest will be billed to insurance. Copay waived for first responders. West Tex Urgent Care, 3401 Greenbrier Drive, 201-1403, WestTexUrgentCare.com. Cash prize for virtual visit for COVID-19, $75. Cash prize for nasal swab, PCR test, $70. Cash prize for COVID-19 antibody test, $50. All COVID-19 testing must begin with a virtual visit. Steward Medical Group COVID-19 testing. Swab tests by appointment only. Complete Care Midland. 1701 North Loop 250 West, Midland, 522-5033. MISD serves summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal schedule is in effect. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab and go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 11 locations, according to a press release from the district. Meals are available for any child 18 or under, or those who receive services from school. The locations are Bonham, Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Dizavala, Rusk, Santa Rita, South, and Yarborough Elementary Schools, Fire Station No. 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. Daily menus are available at midlandisd.net under Child Nutrition Services. Today in History. Today is Monday, June 29, the 181st day of 2020. There are 185 days left in the year. On this date, in 1995, the space shuttle Atlantis and the Russian Mir space station linked in orbit beginning a historic 5-day voyage as a single ship. In 2006, the Supreme Court ruled 5-3 that President George W. Bush's plan to try Guantanamo Bay detainees in military tribunals violated U.S. and international law. In 2009, disgraced financier Bernard Madoff received a 150-year sentence for his multi-billion-dollar fraud. 1 year ago, former New York City Police Detective Luis Alvarez, who was a leader in the fight to maintain the September 11 Victims Compensation Fund, died of cancer at the age of 53. In Major League Baseball's first game in Europe, the New York Yankees outlasted the Boston Red Sox 17-13 in a London game that stretched for 4 hours and 42 minutes, just 3 minutes shy of the record for a 9-inning game. Today's birthdays: actor Gary Busey is 76, country musician Todd Sansom, Marshall Dillon is 42, NBA forward Kawhi Leonard is 29. Source AP. Dear Abby, new husband's moodiness may signal deeper trouble. Dear Abby, I have a question about my daughter's new husband, Brad. I haven't interfered with their marriage and don't want to, but he seems very moody and barely speaks to me. Just when I thought I found a common topic, on the next visit, 4 or 5 weeks later, he doesn't say a word. During my last visit, he got very upset with my daughter because a piece of chicken fell out of his wrap while she was tasting it. She apologized twice, but her eyes were watering when I walked into the room. I wanted so badly to just hug her and ask Brad, "What's wrong with you?" I have heard his tone before. Should I do anything? Questioning in the South. Dear Questioning, if Brad has behaved this way before when you were visiting, is it possible that your visit was inconvenient for him? Could they be having marital problems? I don't think it would qualify as interference to ask your daughter how often her husband gets upset over things as trivial as a piece of chicken spilling out of his wrap. Exploding over something so insignificant could be an indication that there is a larger problem that hasn't been dealt with. It also would not be interfering to let your daughter know that if this happens often, it isn't normal, and that you are, and always will be, there for her if she feels she needs it. Dear Abby, a friend died in a state that has restrictions on gathering for funerals because of the pandemic. Only those in the household, the mortuary staff, and a pastor or other religious officiant can be present at the funeral. This was a good friend, Abby, someone I'd known for 35 years. He and his wife, also a longtime friend, were in my wedding party. The sudden loss of this friend saddens me, and it grieves me that I cannot offer condolences in person or attend the funeral or support his widow in person. Other readers may also be facing this quandary. Do you have any suggestions? Grieving on the East Coast. Dear Grieving, ask your friend's widow if the funeral home can stream the funeral service to friends and extended family who are unable to attend in person. Call her, extend your condolences, and ask if she needs your help or if she is planning to have a memorial you can attend once the quarantine is lifted. While you're at it, ask if she would like a contribution in her late husband's name made to a particular organization. Do not send flowers without first asking, because she may be inundated. And, of course, continue calling to check on her, lift her spirits, and allow her to vent if she needs to, which may help her to feel less isolated and vulnerable. Dear Abby, I have a question about privacy. No matter when I'm in the restroom, my husband feels the need to come in and hang out every single day. I have mentioned over and over that I would prefer some privacy, but he won't listen. I mean, come on, is nothing sacred? What gives? Exposed in New Jersey. Dear Exposed, you have my sympathy. Your husband either doesn't respect your need for privacy or has an insatiable desire for a captive audience. The solution to your problem may be as simple as a sturdy lock on your bathroom door. For an excellent guide to becoming a better conversationalist and a more sociable person, order How to Be Popular. Send your name and mailing address, plus check or money order for $8, U.S. funds, to Dear Abby, Popularity Booklet, P.O. Box 447, Mount Morris, Illinois, 61054-0447. Shipping and handling are included in the price. Jacqueline Bigger's Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1. Difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Cancer and a moon in Libra until 5:48 p.m. when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Monday, June 29, 2020. Both a dreamer and a seeker of the truth. You are brilliant at exposing phoniness. You find the funds for your fun-loving project, and this is a successful year for you. If single, you won't be for long, as you are a great partner, wishing to share your life with another. If attached, you are very generous with your partner, who appreciates you and your bubbly life together. Sagittarius loves to laugh with you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today favors social activity and cultural pursuits. You are able to crusade for the causes you are devoted to, yet find time for friendship. Those close to you reveal their limitations. Keep your expectations of others realistic, and you will not be disillusioned. Tonight, relax. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. A different home or job may be in the stars soon. Do not resist the new order coming into your life. The long-term picture will be brighter than it might seem at first glance. Tonight, check in on an elderly family member who misses you. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Tender and happy forces bless your life with joy today. Court your love. Short times apart will stimulate your interest and passion as you enjoy sharing new experiences with your beloved to keep the relationship fresh and interesting. Tonight, a vision of the future. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Family life in your home assume a subtle glamour today. Ever the detective, you will be fascinated by secrets about your heritage and will discover new qualities in loved ones. A relative who has been out of touch might suddenly reappear. Tonight, emotions are strong. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Your eloquence allows you to resolve old misunderstandings. Speaking and writing are truly inspired. If you have wanted to write for publication, now is the time to make the dream a reality. Tonight, good or bad neighbors aren't quite as they appear. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. As an earth sign, you are concerned about security. Old debts or responsibilities draw on your resources today. Your long-range financial picture is more promising than the present. Friendships with coworkers might lead to new financial opportunities. Tonight, catch up with old friends. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Today you realize that an old responsibility or limitation is not quite resolved. Be patient and conscientious about tying up loose ends. Have faith, and all will be well eventually. A final chapter is completed. Be creative and adventurous in meeting transportation needs. Tonight, important emails. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Identifying real values can be something of a challenge. Interpret vivid dreams figuratively, not literally. Childhood memories might affect the present. Honor the past and learn from it, but do not let it haunt you. Tonight, creative projects motivate you. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Real estate transactions might be confusing. Humor and patience will speed success. You grow through involvement with organizations. Reach out to new groups and rise to the occasion if called upon to fill a leadership role. Tonight, members decide to support your worthy cause. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. You may question an authority and become more vocal and visible in your work. Extra effort and attention to detail make the recognition positive. Mastering new techniques and technologies helps you move forward. Tonight, your life feels full of promise. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. You enjoy learning and are something of a perpetual student. You learn a great deal today. Old concepts are changing. Travel plans become important but are subject to change. Do background research if making an unusual or unfamiliar journey. Tonight, express the artist within. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today begins with a curiosity about death's mysteries. There may be a message of wisdom and comfort from one who has passed on. A sense of déjà vu prevails. Look at repeating patterns to understand the future. Tonight, give yourself extra rest. Born today, writer Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, 1900, producer Robert Evans, 1930, comedian Colin Jost, 1982.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.